But hello, everybody. This is the sixth episode of Strange Quirk for Anime Podcast. I am Strange Keith.
And I'm Quirky Dirk.
And today we'll be doing our draft selections for the, what is it, spring?
Spring
2019 season. Yay.
Yeah, so we noticed there was a bit of discrepancy about what this draft is and how it operates, so we're going to go ahead and clarify that before we dive into the meat of the show. You know, the purpose of this is to weed out, you know, some of the shows, because we're not going to review everything that we watch. That's the purpose of it. So how we started off by selecting our top six, we both select us top six that we would want to pick out of what is in the whole entire lineup for spring or whatever season that we're doing it for. And then we come together without knowing what the other person has, and we do, like, you know, our top one, and then we try to get our top two, but you don't know if the other person's gonna steal it because it might be on their list. So the top six that we pick, out of those six, we're going to pick three that carry the most weight out of the six to review at the end of the season. So out of the six that we pick, only three of each person's we're going to pick for review, but we both have to watch the whole season of that show that we pick. So how I may pick something he might not like, he's going to have to watch the whole season to catch up to do the review with me, because that's how the draft works.
Right.
If you guys have any other questions, ask us. Please. I hope that's clarifying enough. Do you think I missed anything? Did I get it all?
No, that sounds about right. Yeah. Yeah, that pretty much the goal is to pick the six with kind of going into it blind. We pick our six, and then we each pick three from that six after watching the first three episodes of each one. And then, like she said, the three that we pick, we will review later on after they finish. So that's the goal, is to pick shows for review, but shows that we like, obviously. We don't want to watch anything that we don't like the whole season through and then review it, and then, you know, no one wants to, you know, we may pick something that we end up not liking in the end, but yeah, we want to pick stuff that at least starts out good.
So yeah, but that wasn't the goal. Life doesn't go as planned. But yeah, so that's the point, is to weed out just anything, like, you know, say I don't like the first three episodes of something that I thought I was gonna like. Okay, now we don't have to review it. Uh-huh. So that's the concept. So now, with that being said, we're gonna go into explaining, or not explaining, but like kind of going through with the six that we picked, because we've watched the first three episodes of each of the six that we picked. This time, because last time I didn't watch online. But this time I'm doing better. See, improvement. See, that's growth. So yes, I've watched, and he has watched, all six shows, the first three episodes at least by this point. And we're going to kind of do a little rundown on them, and then we'll pick our top three that we're going to carry on into the end of the season to do the review at the end. But that both of us are going to have to watch our top three.
Correct.
So, how about your six? What they looking like? All six.
No, we'll go back and forth. One and one.
Damn you.
So my first one was Fairy Gone. And it's basically a story about there was a war, I think 9 or 10 years ago, and this is like the aftermath of the war. But basically, people have been given these like fairies. They're kind of like stands from JoJo. And now in the aftermath of the war, some of the fairy soldiers, which is what they were called, some of them are working for the government. Some of them have started working for the mafia. Some of them have become terrorists. But basically, the story is we're following this guy. We start off following this guy who works for the government, and he runs into this girl who doesn't have a fairy at the start of the show, but the guy gets into a fight with this other girl who has a fairy, and the girl that he's fighting is friends with our main character, Maria, and during their fight, I guess, there's like a jar with a fairy in it, and Maria kind of like breaks the jar open, and the fairy inside of it, what would you call that? Like combines with her, like it becomes part of her, so now she has a fairy as well. And throughout the show, like she uses the fairy, but she, at this point in the show, she can't summon the fairy at will, so she basically becomes part of, she joins the guy who works for the government, so she becomes a government person, and she's looking for this girl that he was fighting because she is an old friend of hers from her childhood. So, but it's pretty interesting. There's action, and like I said, the fairies come out like stands in JoJo, so if you like that, then it'd be, you know, it's pretty good. So yeah, your turn.
It's your turn.
No, it's your turn.
It's your turn. I was only one. All right, my first pick was Demon Slayer.
That you stole.
Well, you wouldn't be here if you hadn't stole Farragon.
I didn't steal Farragon.
You shouldn't have cheated on the coin flip. Farragon first, and then you would have had to pick something.
You wouldn't have even picked it first anyway.
You don't know what I would have picked first.
I know you wouldn't have picked that first.
Before I could even
Anyway, go ahead with your stolen Demon Slayer.
My stolen Demon Slayer. Me and Demon Slayer doing fine, okay? We good. We still talk. Yes. Don't ask how we doing. Don't, you know. We in the streets. We taking photos. We, you know, PDA. You feel me? No, for real. Demon Slayer's fire. So basically, it's this main character, Tanjiro. And he comes home and he finds his whole family slaughtered. But his sister has been turned into a demon. So his goal, since he found his sister, was to try to save her from being a demon and putting her back into being a human. So he has to fight. Somebody was trying to kill his sister. I think so. Yeah. Whatever. Somebody's trying to fight his sister. She's a demon. And then so he's fighting the guy back. Like, you know, don't kill her. That's my sister. She's not, you know, she's not hurting anybody. Don't hurt her. And so the guy kind of sees that he's serious. He's like, okay, whatever. So he felt like he was like a good fit to be a demon slayer. So he kind of sends out word to his old sensei to train him up to be a demon slayer. So Tanjiro goes to the guy's house to try to get some help. And he trains him up on how to pass the test to be a demon slayer, rather. And he picks up on a lot in a little bit of time. Like, I feel like he was only there for like a week. It was probably longer than that, but I feel like it was only a week. But he learned a lot of stuff in a little bit of time. And the whole time he's just like, you know, his motivation is to get his sister back because that's the last person in his family now. So I'm not going to ruin it too much and give too much information. But the premise is he's going to be able to be just killing everything in sight. Like, that's the goal. Until he finds the cure for his sister, whatever the cure may be. So far, the art is amazing. The scripting is amazing. Like, they waste no moment. So, like, everything is like, I hate when people show too much of something that doesn't matter. And this has not had any of that. Like, even like the stuff that you might think, like, oh, that was kind of superfluous. It was for a reason. Like, you're going to see it come. Something's going to, at the end of the episode or something, you'll be like, oh, that makes sense now. But, yeah, so I like it. It's good. It's fire. If you haven't started it, go ahead and start it now. Just go ahead. You put it on your list. Mm-hmm, yeah. Log into Hulu. There it is. Yeah. D-E-M. Yeah. Mm-hmm. O-N. Yes, there it is right there. Click on that. Mm-hmm, right there. Watch list. Okay. Great. Awesome. I don't know. It's add to list on Hulu. Watch list on something else. But yeah, you got it. There it is. You come home tomorrow night. Go ahead and start that. Good job. High five. I high five the mic, by the way.
Such a weirdo. So anyway, my second pick was Carolyn Tuesday. And Carolyn Tuesday is the latest story from the same director as Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo, Kids on the Slope. But it's the story of these two girls. One comes from a wealthy family. Tuesday, she comes from a wealthy family, and she runs away from home to pursue her dream of becoming a guitarist. And then there's Carol, who is this orphan girl who plays the piano, and she's had a pretty rough life, and she's she lives in the city. She's been pretty much on her own her whole life. And one day, Carol decides that she's going to play some music on the street to try and, I guess that would be panhandling. But while she's playing her piano on the street, Tuesday walks by and is like completely enamored by this beautiful tune that she's playing on her piano. And in the moment, this cop comes up and he's like, you know, you guys can't play music on the sidewalk here. So they take off running, and from there they become friends. I left out that this is on Mars. So there's people live on Mars at this point. So they're both on Mars living. It's in the future, and all of the music and entertainment is created by artificial intelligence. So human musicians at this point aren't really a thing anymore. So for two humans to be trying to become musicians is kind of a weird thing. But they get really close, they become friends, and they decide they want to make music together, and they go to this concert hall where there is a grand piano, and they kind of Carol knows the security guard, but they kind of force their way in so that they can play the piano, or she can play the grand piano, and they can play together. And while they're playing, this audio engineer was in the back, and he hears them playing and records them and uploads it to the internet, and the video goes viral, and a whole bunch of stuff ends up happening. After their video goes viral and basically sets the course for the show, for them to try to really make it as musicians in an industry where, you know, human musicians aren't really a thing anymore. But pretty good show so far. So, yeah. Your turn. No, your turn.
I thought it would work. Okay, so my second choice, I believe, from the last episode was After Lost, I think. Okay, so I'm very happy that I decided to rewatch this today, because I was thinking about it and I couldn't remember nothing. But I was calling, like, in my mind, I was like, oh, this is kind of slow. But I remember I was watching it with my goddaughter, so I wasn't paying attention. Like, I was watching her to make sure she was enjoying it, because she's getting into anime, and I was trying to make sure, like, you know, she likes My Hero Academia, but I'm trying to put her on to some different stuff. She's only like 9, so judge me if you want. But I watched it again today because I was thinking about it, and I could not remember, like, the beginning or how the main characters met and stuff like that. I knew, like, the basics, but I couldn't remember, like, you know, really important plot details. So watching again today is so much better than my brain was trying to accept it to be, and that's why I'm happy I watched it again. Because I can give you guys the real, because you guys deserve it. So the movie, that's where my brain was going. The show starts off with like this girl who's been held captive, and it's this one guy character, and he kind of is infiltrating this agency that wants to kidnap her. So kidnap her from her already being kidnapped. So he ends up kidnapping her from the kidnappers, basically, and saving her. But he really doesn't know what he's getting himself into. So he is a courier by trade. So he just kind of gets paid to drop off packages, whatever the package may actually be. So she is the package in this instance. And so he finally delivers her after, you know, a big headache of everybody trying to get her back. And they're like, you know, I'm sorry, I know you just finished, but can you do another job? And okay, so this is explaining the title. So the title is After Lost because something happened to this big portion of the city that they now call Lost, and it's post that event happening. So that's why it's called After Lost. They call the city Lost. That's just what they call it. So they're like, oh, can you take her to the city Lost because her dad's looking for her, and we don't know if he's alive or dead, to be honest. No one knows what's happening inside of Lost at all. So they're like, you know, you're the only person we can ask because you're the only one dumb enough to go in there and do this, but can you please? They didn't really call him dumb, but you know, as you're watching it, you're like, oh, this man's a fool. But so he's like, you know what, yeah, I'll do it, because he wants to kind of help. At one point he wants to help her, at another point he wants the paycheck, he's trying to secure the bag. So then he's like venting to one of his friends is kind of like telling him not to go, right? And he's like, well, it's just a job, blah blah blah. So the girl kind of runs away, blah blah blah, and so that kind of forms their bond, because he had to go hunt her down to let her know that she needs to go find out if her father's dead or not. Like, you need to go see it for yourself. Don't worry about what everybody else is saying about what happened to the city. If your dad tried to contact you, maybe he's still alive. Let's go. So they are heading off into Lost, and people are hunting them down and trying to kill them. And some of his old friends come in to play, and they assist him in the journey. And it just gets more and more action-packed. The girl has this special power that it works inside the city of Lost. I'm not sure if it really like works too far outside of it, but she's a sole survivor from the event. So like, her dad and her brother are inside Lost, and she was the only one that got out. So she has an ability to use something like a JoJo stand, and she kind of summons it, the thing, and it attacks whoever she wants it to attack. So she's not the only person with that ability, but she's the only person that was able to leave from Lost. The story is anybody that goes in there dies or doesn't come out. So the art is pretty good. I like it. It's really very colorful and nice. It's like, it's bright but dark at the same time. So like, it's the colors are bright, but the story is dark. And so I kind of can appreciate that dichotomy there. So it's a pretty good show. Your turn.
Okay, well, my third pick was Midnight Occult Civil Servant.
Thief.
Not a thief, because I went first.
Thief.
So, yeah, there we go. But anyway, so Midnight Occult Civil Servant is pretty much, this guy signs up to be a civil servant. Now, what exactly a civil servant is, I do not know, to be honest. But he applies for this job to be a civil servant, and he doesn't know that it is the paranormal and occult division of whatever this agency is that he applied for. So his first day on the job, he meets his new coworkers. They're kind of like, in the beginning, like, does he know? Like, you don't know? And he's like, what are you guys talking about? So they go on a little patrol that they do nightly, and turns out, and then that's when he finds out that this is the paranormal and occult division, who who pretty much, they go around the city to make sure that none of the, there's like spirits and fairies and all types of different, I guess, deities or species of spirits or whatever. But basically, they do their patrol to make sure nobody's really getting out of hand, nobody's causing any trouble, because these spirits and things, they like to cause trouble, apparently. And during their patrol, there is a dispute between a, what was it? I can't remember what the two species were, but they look pretty much the same, except for one species was like women angels, and they were kind of big, and then the other species was like male angels, but they were smaller. But a guy and a girl from each species had like fallen in love with each other, but I guess the species were supposed to hate each other. So the way that their family saw it was that they were fighting rather than they were in love with each other. And I guess these civil servants, their duty was to kind of break up this fight. And what the new guy ends up finding out is that he has the, I think they called it the ears of sand, where he can understand what all these spirits and things are saying. And I guess regular humans, they can't understand what they're saying. So this division this entire time has been kind of just going off of actions and what they can see rather than what's, you know, they can't understand what's being said from between these different species and whatnot. So basically this guy's kind of really key for them. He ends up being a very key person for them, because now they have a way to communicate with these different spirits and things. And it's been pretty good so far. That was the first episode. The second episode is like this god who is like, he kidnaps girls and he causes a bunch of trouble just for the fun of it. Like he's a ancient Aztec god and he got bored, so he decided to start some trouble. And it's a very episodic show. There's not really a linear storyline just yet, but usually these kind of shows, they give you three episodes of, you know, character development and storytelling and world building and stuff, and before they get into a real storyline. So but pretty good. So your turn.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead.
I don't love to. My number three was Fruits Basket.
What you stole?
I couldn't steal nothing because you already stole all the stuff I was going to get. So Fruits Basket was on my list though, but you definitely stole. Your first three was all theft. All theft.
My first three were all for me.
Nah, your first mm-hmm. three was all theft, and your last all three was like, for me. Okay, I would have thought about it, but I didn't really want them for real.
Mm-hmm.
Pure theft. So yes, number three was Fruits Basket, the new adaptation of it. There was a previous one that I want to see as a train wreck. I have to watch it to verify how bad everyone says it was. So I must be the judge, only me. But yeah, Fruits Basket's pretty good. The story is set around a family that is cursed with turning into one of the animals of, well, not the whole family, each person turns into one of the animals of the Chinese zodiac. And the story is set around start fresh. The 12 signs of the 12 animals of the house are zodiac houses or whatever. There's a 13th animal that we don't have a story for in real life, but it's the cat. And the main girl, she grew up hearing stories about the cat being left out of the zodiac, so she kind of grew attached to the story of the cat. So she meets one of her classmates, is one of the family members that turns into one of the animals of the Chinese zodiac. say so many words, my brain's skipping over stuff. But so one of her classmates is one of those family members, and so she didn't know it, but when her grandfather asked her to stay with her friends while his house was remodeled, she didn't want to ask them and put a burden on them, so she decided she was going to stay in a tent until the house got finished. So she pitched her tent on one of her classmates' property, but she didn't know it. So it's her classmate, and it's like his uncle or older brother, whoever this man is. I still don't know who he is.
I think he's like an older cousin or
something.
Yeah.
Some older man family.
Because he's not that much older than them.
No.
I don't think he's in school. Yeah, he's out of high school, but I think he's like 30.
He's like 25, he's like, probably.
I don't even know if he's that old.
He gotta be somewhere up there. He's not 21. So I think 25 is a safe assumption.
I mean, close enough.
Somewhere in there. He's definitely over 18.
Yeah.
But they're walking and they find her outside in a tent. And they're like, yo, this is not safe. You know, there's supposed to be some bad weather or whatever tonight. You just come in the house with us for tonight and then you can come back tomorrow. So she's like, okay, whatever. So she leaves her stuff out there. And they come back the next day to a mudslide on her tent. And everything she owned was in there. Her mom's picture, because her mom passed away. You know, anime kids never have parents. So why do they never have parents? This doesn't make no sense.
It's like a normal thing, though. Like, no one ever has parents.
It's like, we want you to focus on the kids so much they can't have parents. But her mom's picture was in there. Her mom had passed, and so she really wanted that picture. So they get the picture out, and then like they kind of grows their bond. Like, you know, they're doing something for her. She's very appreciative. And then so they're like, you know, you can just stay here with us since your house got trampled outside. And so she stays there. She's all, you know, cooking and cleaning and whatnot. And then another one of the cousins show up. And guess who the cousin is? The cat. But I don't think she knows yet. Right.
No, she doesn't know.
She doesn't know that he's the cat, but this is leading to the whole reason why she was told the story of the cat. So she was trying to break up their fight, wasn't she? Or something. Uh-huh. And she hugged the classmate that she had, and he turned into the rat. And then that's when she found out that this whole family turns into animals. So she didn't want them to erase her memories. So she they worked it out to where they didn't have to erase her memories. But so she gets to stay in the house and get to know the secret, and she starts getting attached to the whole family, really, not in like a romantic way, just kind of in like this bond that they created. And she's like watching the person who's the cat kind of grow as a person, because he's really like socially awkward and he's very mean. But when he's around her, he wants to change for the better, which, you know, watch what he says, stop being so mean to other people. He still wants to be mean to the rat. They fighting, there's smoke on sight. Like, there's no talking.
It's like every day, too. And they're family, and it's every day they're fighting.
You wake up, bro, you up, hands. Like, that's how it is with them. And it's only really with him, because the rat really don't want to fight him, because he know he gonna beat his ass. But the cat's like, I'm gonna beat you up one day, and today might be that day. Every day. So, but it's a really cute story. The animation's pretty, it's okay. It's not the best animation I've ever seen, but you know, it's nice, it's seamless. I have no complaints, which is sometimes difficult for people to do, because I always be complaining about something. But yeah, so it's a pretty cool show. I like it. And I'm done.
All right, my fourth one was, we're on four, right? Yeah, I just did Midnight of Cool. Yeah, so my fourth one was, did I take Why Are You Here, Sensei, before?
I don't know. I feel like you did.
I think I might have.
You tried to steal it. Oh, no, you took it and you didn't know it was on my, you didn't know I was interested in it.
You're right.
Because the Magma of the Sea, I was not interested in.
Yeah. Okay, well, my fourth one is Why Are You Here, Sensei? And this is a ecchi comedy show, which is, I think it's 12-minute episodes, so it's shorts. But basically, it's basically about this guy who is a high school student, and he keeps ending up in very awkward, like sexual situations with one of his teachers. Like the first episode is basically it opens up with him stuck in a bathroom stall with the teacher, and she's sitting on the toilet taking a piss or about to take a piss, and it doesn't show how he got in there. It just jumps right into they're stuck in there. But I guess basically in this first episode, this bathroom is like a bathroom that no one really uses. So he sneaks off to use that bathroom when he goes to the bathroom. And when he goes into his normal stall that, you know, usually no one's in this bathroom.
I think also it doesn't lock.
Yeah. Well, she's in there and then the lock is like broken. Mm-hmm. So once he's in there, they can't get out because the lock is sudden. Yeah, because now suddenly this lock is all messed up and they can't get out. And then also there's other people who are like coming in and out of this bathroom, so he can't go out, and then someone sees that she comes out too, because, you know, now they're both in there. But yeah, it's, if you're not into edgy at all, I wouldn't recommend it.
It's very edgy.
But like, if you can deal with some edgy, because it's pretty funny, like these situations are so like
outlandish,
yeah, like completely ridiculous, but it's funny, and I enjoyed it just because it's hilarious and outrageous. But yeah, if you like edgy, I'd say check it out. But yeah, I enjoyed it, even though it was censored, as I watched it on High Dive
to get the uncensored version. He was so sad that it was censored, you guys. He was
heartbroken. Because, like, the whole point of High Dive is uncensored, and then you watch it on there, and it's censored. I could have just watched it on Crunchyroll.
Probably not even censored on Crunchyroll.
It might not be, huh?
It probably is.
You're probably right. I wonder if it's on Hulu. It might not be censored on Hulu, because High School DxD wasn't.
It wasn't Japanese, though.
But the English wasn't.
There ain't no dub today yet.
Maybe.
They're not dubbing it right now. They got bigger fish to fry right now. Voice actors have other jobs to do.
Anyway, your turn, madam.
Like, sorry. Okay, so on number four, I think, was Robihachi. This story is pure comedy. Like, there's no seriousness in this show at all. Like, none. Like, none. It's cute, though. I like it. I say everything is cute and I like it, but there's some stuff I don't think is cute and that I don't like. So that just means this season's doing okay. But so the story is Robbie is a character, and he is very, you know, he's not living his life like a grown-up would. He's living his life kind of like a child with adult privileges. Like,
sounds like me.
You know what? I don't disagree. So
see,
shut up.
You know
I don't.
You know
I do not. So yes, Robbie is living his youngest life at 30, and so he had this backpack and somebody stole it, and somebody caught the thief and gave him his backpack back. That person was Hachi. So that kind of gives you the title, Robihachi. So Hachi works for a loan shark kind of person that Robbie has borrowed money from, but they don't know that at this point. So they have a little chop it up or whatever. Robbie says thank you. They go out to eat. I can't remember who paid for it, but I just remember him saying that Hachi could have the last of the fries, and there was like three fries in the box. And I'm just like, sir, you could have thrown those away, like, before you offered them to me. Like, don't do that. But, so then I think it was like the next day or whatever. Time lapsed, and Hachi showed up to Robbie's door, but he didn't know who he was coming to get. So he's coming on behalf of the loan shark to come get the money. And Robbie's house is a spaceship. So it doesn't look like it until you turn it on, but it looks like it is a spaceship on top of a roof of a building. So he's knocking on the door, and he's like, oh, I'm not giving him nothing. I don't have that money. Like, I gotta go. I gotta run. Where can I go? So he, you know, revs up the engine, and Hachi wasn't alone. He was with some other people. But somehow, some way, after Robbie got up in the sky and is heading into outer space, because they're on Earth, but it's like way far in the future. I don't know what year, but it's like way far. Like where we think, like if you watch the Jetsons was like, you know, 2020. Like it was like right now. Like we don't have none of that shit that the Jetsons have. Nothing. Like nothing. I'm not pulling a car out of my briefcase. None of that shit. I don't even got a robot. But so it's kind of like that, like the futuristic, but it's not that far in the future, I don't think. But so with space travel is hella normal at this point. People are just literally like traveling with like a regular passport type space travel. So he flies off thinking he's good, thinking he got away. Dun, dun, dun. Hachi's in the spaceship. So he's like, well, damn, where are we going? He's like, I don't know. And so Hachi's like, you know what? He's going to ride with the flow. He's like, I'm just going to go along with the ride. We're just going to go wherever we go. So now they're not working against each other. They're working with each other. So I do want to know. I don't want to say nothing else about that storyline, but I do want to note the funniest thing to me was the fact that these niggas have a fucking Power Ranger Megazord for whatever the fuck reason. I do not know the purpose of this fucking Megazord, but it's there. And so they, so the Lone Shark got into space because, like I said, space travel is as easy as just having a damn passport. Some places you don't need a passport. It's like going to Mexico on a cruise. You just need your ID. Just get out. So they didn't even card nobody. But so they're out there and they're shooting at them. And then so they're pushing buttons in the spaceship because, mind you, Robbie's never flown this thing. I think he flew it literally to where he lived at the time. And he hadn't really been touching it since then. Just using his house. So they get into these little spaceships and they start pushing buttons. All of a sudden, this motherfucker starts doing with the Power Ranger music and turning into the Megazord. And I'm just like, are y'all fucking serious right now? This is what y'all came here to do? Y'all see it? And then, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let y'all have that one. Y'all going to watch it because I said they get Power Ranger Megazord. I know. So I'm going to leave it alone. I'm not going to tell y'all too much. But the art is pretty dope. It's funny. Literally, that there's if don't come here looking for, you know, a great plot. This shit's like goofy funny. But yeah, watch it. I suggest that you watch that too. Go ahead, Robbie Hachi. All right, there you go. Hulu.
All right, and my fifth pick was Magma of the Blue Sea, and this is a show that is not technically airing over here, so I had to find it online somewhere to watch it. Basically, this show is about... I don't know what this man's position is. But so basically, this continent has popped up in the middle of the sea out of nowhere and sparked this whole brand new age of exploration. And people are like flocking there to, you know, learn what's going on this continent, kind of where it came from. Is there something there that, is there any type of resource there that they can find and get rich off of? So, our main character is, what is his name? I'm so bad with names in these shows in the beginning, but, anyway, so basically this guy is essentially a search and rescue for hire kind of guy. He has an assistant who's like this little girl named Zero, and she stays at their office. But he goes out to the island to help people when, you know, someone is in some type of dire situation or someone can't be found or something like that. So first episode is this little boy seeks out his services because his older brother went to the continent and has been gone for a while. And they give you the little boy's backstory. Basically, this boy is like really sick, like sick and dying. The continent pops up and his older brother and his parents both go to the continent to find this this fruit that's like supposed to be super valuable, And then the brother comes back and he's all sad and he's, you know, oh, mom and dad died, but we're going to find you this, you know, I'm going to go back and find you this thing, this fruit, so that we can come back and cure you. And so the older brother gathers up a bunch of his homies, heads back over to the continent, and then the little brother never sees him again, which is why he goes to our main character to get his rescue, search and rescue services. So the boy and the guy both go to the continent, and we find out that our search and rescue guy is like this super powerful esper, or like a sidekick. He can basically form items out of like psychic energy. So they go to the continent and they find the older brother pretty easily. Like, it wasn't very difficult to find him at all, but they find him and he's basically kind of gone crazy. And the fruit that he was looking for comes from a plant that only grows on a pile of corpses.
Ew.
And they find out basically that the older brother killed the parents to start the pile, and then killed his homies to make the pile larger. Bless you. And now that his little brother is there, he's like, okay, well, now I'll kill you and throw you on the pile to get this fruit to blossom. So he pretty much mortally injures his little brother, but our search and rescue guy, who's this powerful sidekick, fights him and beats him pretty easily. And that's just the first episode. I mean, I won't go too much into it, but I mean, it's pretty good. It's episodic so far. I'm hoping that eventually there will be a linear storyline. But there wasn't really any type of hints along the way of these three episodes to set anything up, so I guess we'll see. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty decent show so far though. So yeah, your turn. Five.
My fifth show is Wise Man's Grandchild. I believe I called it Mad Guy's Grandchild on the last episode, but it's the same show. This show is way better than I expected it to be. Basically, the wise man is Merlin. Long story short. And it's his grandson, but his grandson has no clue who Merlin is. Like, he's been kept in the woods. He doesn't even know how good of a, like, a wizard, I guess, whatever, sorcerer, whatever they want to call themselves. I really don't even know. Magician. They don't even know. He doesn't even know how good he is. He's really didn't grow up with any kids. He only really had his grandmother and his grandfather. And so they're like, you know what? You're at an age where it's time to put you in school, because you kind of been out here by yourself. You don't really know what real life is at all. Nothing. He don't even know he's rich. First of all, that's number one. He don't even know he's rich. So they trying to figure out how they're going to put him in school. So they have, like, because it's Merlin and, you know, this wonderful woman
he
that
doesn't
he's married
have any to. Social skills also.
None. He don't have none. But he's a really good guy though. Like, even though he doesn't have social skills. He doesn't have social skills in a group. One-on-one basis, he's read pretty regularly. He just doesn't understand, like, group dynamics. But that's not really his fault. So they're trying to figure out how to get him in school, and then, like, Merlin's friends are kind of like, you know, oh, bring him over here. He's like, nah, y'all finna use my grandson for some nonsense. I'm good on that. I'm gonna think about it. So they end up just putting him in, like, in a regular school, but it's in one of his friends, Merlin's friends, like, school, and is in his kingdom. And so like, the grandson didn't even know that he was a king. At all. You know, if you're calling him uncle, that's it.
Yeah, all the people that he knew were, like, high up important people, and he never had any idea until he was about to head off to school.
Nope. And then he over here talking to the prince. Also, we're like cousins then. And the prince is like, you know what? Sure. That's fine. You know, this is kind of cool that you don't really treat me like a prince. And it's okay. So he gets to the school. And this is when he starts realizing how dope he is. Because, like, nobody else is as good as him in magic. And then, so he's kind of been under the radar as to who he was in the beginning. Because he's just kind of like a new student. Nobody knew who his parents were. And then the secret got out that, you know, where he comes from and who's been raising him. And it's like, oh, shit. Because he's been being raised by, like, two of the best magicians that the world had ever seen. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to waste too much more of that storyline because I think people should watch it. I got some really good picks, man. Like, I got some really good picks.
It's a pretty decent season,
I'll say. Mm-hmm. I'm not disappointed by, like, literally none of my six have disappointed me. But it's a really good show, and it's much better than I expected it to be. Not that I expected it to be bad, but, like, the title alone didn't really... It was the art that got me more than the title.
Mm-hmm. But, like, the title's, like, super simple.
The title alluded to magic, so I was mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm here for this. Well, not really alluded to nothing, because Wise Man's Grandchild don't mean shit. But the Japanese title alluded to magic, and then, like, when I read the synopsis and saw the genres that it's in, that it fits into... I was like, I want to see this. So that's why I picked it. But, yeah, it's a pretty good show. On to your number six.
All right. And my final pick was One Punch Man Season 2. Hopefully everyone is familiar with One Punch Man. If you're not, it's basically a parody show of superheroes. We follow Saitama, who is Saitama is One Punch Man. So basically he's so strong he can defeat anyone with one punch. He's very bored. He hasn't had a decent fight in a very long time. But also no one really recognizes him. So amongst the heroes, there's a hero association and they rank heroes class A, B, C, S, and I don't know what the numbers are, but you know, you get a letter rank and a number rank within that letter. And even though he's pretty much the strongest person in the show, he is ranked class B. He's ranked a class B hero because no one knows who he is. Whenever he defeats some type of monster, no one's really around to see it, and then it gets attributed to someone else. This season I was really skeptical because it's the first season was by Madhouse, who did an amazing job. That's the studio. And this second season is by, I think, Production IG. So it's a different studio who's not as well known, who's not who doesn't really have the same resources, and the art isn't as good, but the story is still very good. And now the first season didn't really have a linear storyline. It was kind of
just nonsense.
Yeah, it was kind of just, you know, episodic. But this season has an actual storyline. We have an actual, like, villain that we're seeing. Garu, he's a human, but he calls himself the Hero Hunter. He wants to be a monster. And he's, like, really, really strong. So, yeah, I mean, this season, story-wise, has been great. Like, seeing Garu kind of take out these heroes, and then... at the end of the third episode, he meets Saitama finally, kind of on a fluke too, but I won't spoil that for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. But this season has been pretty good so far. It's kind of really exceeded my expectations, honestly. So yeah, that's my number six.
My number six was the third season to one of my favorite anime, Bungo Stray Dog Zoo. Yes, and the crowd goes wild.
No.
There's always a hater in the room, and I never understand why it's always you. Okay, so yes, the greatest anime, not ever, but of the top few, has come out with a season 3. I know y'all wasn't ready. I know. It's okay. It's all right. Y'all better get ready. There's plenty of ways to watch season 1 and season 2. So get y'all asses in front of a TV and handle business. So season 3 is a backstory to Chuya. And it's a backstory to Dazai too, when they were both pretty young. So it starts off when they're like about 15 years old and they was running the streets. Dazai has a history with the Porto Mafia. I don't know why I can't take the O off of that, because it's just Port Mafia, but when you hear it in Japanese, they say Porto Mafia. But so it kind of goes with their little delinquent past. So I'm excited to see. There's not really much there's not much plot I can give away on that if you haven't seen the first or the second season. Well, the first and or the second season, because you need to watch the second season to understand, too. But it's just kind of doing a breakdown of their past, kind of showing where their relationship started at and how they've come to where they are in the first two seasons. Because it's like a prequel, if anything. So I can't really give nothing away because I don't know nothing else. I just know it is good. And it is just a prequel to Dazai and Chuya's relationship. So watch it. But watch the first two first, because it won't make sense otherwise.
Okay, all right. That's that. So that concludes our first impressions of our 6 picks. So now we will each shorten our 6 picks down to 3.
I don't really know how to do this. It was easy last time because I only watched 3 picks. This is going to be very difficult. All 6 of mine are fire. I think everybody should watch all 6. But just because I think everybody should watch all 6 does not mean that we're going to review all 6. So like we said at the beginning of the episode, clarifying the draft one more time for the people in the back, we're going to go from the 6 that we picked to the 3 that we intend for the other person to watch as well for a review at the end of the season, or at the end of its run. So I noticed already, because I was looking into the I was looking into the summer lineup just to be looking, and some of these fall into the summer lineup because they are 24 episodes. So some of these will be reviewed a little later. Some of the ones from our winter draft are still running. They're still running, right?
Yeah, Shield Hero still running. Doro still running. Mob Psycho is finished though.
Yeah, so some of the ones that are running longer, we will review when they are finished. I did notice that some of them already, that at least I know I picked, are going to be in next season. And yeah, you can go look now and find that out, but I'm about to tell you too. So it doesn't really matter. Don't try to beat me to the punch. Like, I knew you was going to, then you didn't know nothing. So I think you should say all 3 of yours first.
That's fine. The 3 that I am passing are Fairy Gone, One Punch Man Season 2, and Midnight Occult Civil Servant.
Interesting.
The other 3 were good. I still would recommend, I would suggest that people watch them. But those 3 kind of just stood out. I really wanted to pass Carolyn Tuesday. It was good, but it didn't give me the same thing that I got from, because I kind of went back and forth between if it should be Carolyn Tuesday or if it should be Midnight Occult Civil Servant. And in the end, I ended up just deciding to go with Midnight Occult Civil Servant. And I mean, a lot of people really won't get to see Carolyn Tuesday for a while anyway. So, just because it's going to come out on Netflix, and you know, Netflix doesn't put anything out until it's all the way finished.
Netflix in America.
In America, boo, doesn't put out anything until fix it's all it. The way finished, and it's supposed to be 24 episodes. So, that was kind of part of fall. basically you won't see it on Netflix until fall or even maybe winter. So and I know people can watch Midnight Occult Civil Servant now, so that that kind of was a big part of my decision to go with that over Carolyn Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my three is gonna be a big shocker. It was a shock to me. It was a shock to my diary. Uh-oh. I don't have a diary, but if I did, it'd be a shock. Okay, so first, we're going with Demon Slayer, because Demon Slayer is fire.
Of course. Second,
and yesterday, this wouldn't have been... It literally changed today. Mm. Second is going to be After Loss.
Oh!
I know!
Surprise, surprise!
I know. It's good, though. And then, so that really messed up a whole bunch of stuff for me, right? but I also want to highlight the fact that this is not getting past is because I want to do something else with it. And it doesn't make sense to review season 3.
Oh,
I know. But it doesn't make sense to review this season without having reviewed 1 and 2 either. And that's not how this draft works. The draft works if you review the season. Like, One Punch Man season 2 will be different. Then, because it's not really a prequel, it's kind of like, you know, the next season, but it's kind of tough to review a prequel when we haven't even touched on season 1 or 2. So my third choice,
surprise,
is gonna be Wise Man's Grandchild, because that shit's fire too.
Wow.
But everything is good, so I still suggest people watch Fruits Basket, and I still suggest, because I know a lot of people have not seen Bungo Stray Dogs.
I wanted to do Fruits Basket. I'm a little upset.
I wanted to too, but it's not better than the Wise Man's Grandchild, in my opinion, so far. I mean, I'm really digging that one. And After Loss, really, if I hadn't watched it again, it would not have been up there. But since I watched it again, like, it's actually pretty good, and I'm looking forward to
turn of events.
I know, that's crazy, right? But yeah, that's where we are. So, I mean, that's what happens. That's how crazy this can be. I went in thinking that Bungo Stray Dogs was gonna be it is a shoe-in, don't get me wrong. It just kind of pointless to review season 3. And to be honest, as a season 3, it's kind of tough to compare to a season 1. So it's not necessarily better than anything. It's just kind of like, you know, I'm biased as hell. But it's good. It just, by itself, it doesn't make sense.
Mm. Wow. Shocker, shocker.
I know.
All right.
My heart's broken. Dazai, don't kill me with you, please. Let's not make this a double suicide.
Man, I keep looking at my list, and I really want to do Carolyn Tuesday, honestly. I'm going to stick with Midnight Occult Civil Servant, though. I still keep going back and forth in my head.
I mean,
about
if Carolyn Tuesday turns out to be extra good, I mean, we can just review it for something different.
I guess we could. Yeah. But I just don't want to... I don't want for us to end up reviewing it and it's not even out yet. You know,
mm-hmm. That's something we can review for a different reason. Like, it doesn't have to be right now. Yeah. We can review it. We can give it the folks about a good 3 weeks after it drops. We can wait till Netflix puts it out and then give folks 3 weeks like we gave them for Endgame. And right.
Because we're probably looking at 6 months after it ends before it's on Netflix, because Ingress finished in October.
I do too.
But Ingress finished in October, and was supposed to be on Netflix, and it not even 2 weeks. Oh no, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Maybe.
April 30th is when it came out on Netflix, and it finished in Japan in October, and we've been waiting. We was waiting so long that. We didn't care anymore.
I'm going to watch it, though, just when I feel like it, when I have time.
Right.
Now it's in the back burner, and now you got to wait till I got time. Because I ain't got time today, cush.
But yeah, that wraps up our final picks from our spring 2019 draft.
It's 22:22 right now. For those who don't know military time, that's just 10:22. But on my phone, it looks cool because it's 4:2. But yeah, so on to the next thing. So like we've been doing at the end of the episode, we are doing reviews with spoilers because Damo said. So this is another one of our winter drafts, selections, one of mine, mainly because most of mine are done.
Right, mine are still going. Most of mine are still going.
So this one, yeah, all three of mine are done. And we did The Promised Neverland last episode. I was going to say last week, like a lie, because this is not a weekly podcast yet. You guys, but look, have faith in us, because there is coming. Weekly episodes are coming. We just got to stop, you know.
Don't get too happy with weekly, maybe every 2 weeks.
Shut up. Weekly is coming. It's not coming next. Every 2 weeks might be next, but it's coming. Weekly will be en route shortly. By the end of the summer, there will be weekly.
But it's like winter, though. So it's coming, but it took a little while.
Just have faith. That's all I got to say. It's coming.
We have to build our army of the dead.
Get out. Go home. Get out of my Caucasian home. Right now. But yes. So, as we did last episode, because not last week, we did a review for Promised Neverland, so now we'll do one for... we're doing one for Wise. It's spelled weird. It's not spelled W-I-S-E. So if you're listening, it won't make sense. It's the title is a capital W apostrophe Z. Mm-hmm. But it's pronounced Wise.
Pronounced Wise. Correct.
Very weird. I didn't know what it was for a while.
Yeah, we had to hear it in show to know. They had to say it in show to say for us to know how to pronounce it.
If the caption didn't spell it out, I still would have thought they were saying something else. Because that's just weird. Why is a W making noise? All it does is wuh, wuh. That's it. There's no Y's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how they even got that.
But. Me neither. But yeah, so we're gonna go ahead and get into that. Okay, Wise was interesting in a weird way. Artistically.
Well, do you want to give a quick synopsis of what it was
before? No, I want to talk about that reverse. The art was really intricate.
I thought it was really pretty. It was very pretty.
They did a lot of work on that show. I can tell plenty of hours went in, you know, no one was bullshitting at work those days. But let's go into a synopsis, and I want you to give it because I can't. I don't know how to give the synopsis for that show.
Are you going to read it? I was hoping you was going to.
Okay, I'll do it. Whatever.
I mean, I could pull one up real
so
fast.
So basically, no, we don't want to give the internet's version. We're going to tell them from our point of view. So basically, there's this boy. His name is not Wise. That's his DJ name, right?
Yeah, that's his DJ name.
Okay, making sure I was on the right track there. So there's this boy. I can't think of his name, but his DJ name is Wise.
Yukiya? No, that wasn't Yuki something. There was a... Now I gotta look it up, because it's gonna bug me. But, why is this already in the search on my phone?
Siri knows.
That's not weird at all.
That's Siri come in handy. Okay? Everybody be mad that Siri be doing
that
stuff.
That is not
Siri
weird
be
at
to come
all.
In the clutch moments, okay? She's Kobe in the fourth, all right?
Because I for sure was not looking at this earlier, and I opened my browser and it's just there.
Siri is trying to help you. You are being a hater again.
It was Yukiya. It was his name, Yukiya.
Okay, well, his DJ name is Wise. Mm-hmm. And he has the ability to travel between two connected worlds, but they're separate. So they call it, do not tell me. Tell me.
Ziggurat.
Is Ziggurat. Oh my God. Or Zaragat.
Yeah, and so the Ziggurat, which is the other world, made me think of the mirror world in Doctor Strange.
So there's this other lens.
Anyways, clearly she doesn't remember Doctor Strange, but if you've seen the movie Doctor Strange,
I do remember it.
You know the mirror world.
Because it makes all the stuff go wibbly wobbly. Like when they were touching stuff and it was like
but, rolling and shit. The Ziggurat, think of the Ziggurat as like the mirror world, where it's like an alternate world on top of the world that we live in.
Yes, and most people can only get to this world by holding somebody else's hand. And it has to be the same person's hand. It's like a designated person's hand.
Mm-hmm. They have a partner to enter the world with.
Mm-hmm. And then, but he does not need a specific partner. He can go between the land without a hand at all. So he has the special privilege to be able to go through one side to the other.
Yeah.
And the reason why he got found out was because his little dumbass thought it was cool. They thought it was cool. I'm sorry. It's not. Lupe gotta go. He thought it was okay for him to go into this little world that he don't even know nothing about. He just traveling back and forth between it because he's just that nigga. And he starts broadcasting his DJ event that he was having by himself. And broadcasting it. And then people that know about this world see it, and they're the only ones that recognize it. Regular people don't recognize it because they ain't never been there.
Right. So he he also has the ability to bring items in. So
Items in and back.
Yeah. Which no one else can do. So how he recorded his video was that he took his DJ equipment into the Ziggurat and shot a video of him in the Ziggurat DJing. And then that's kind of how people and how the other, they're called handshakers. So that's how the other handshakers kind of ended up finding him, was because, and they took an interest in him because clearly he's different, because he's in the Ziggurat by himself. He took this large item DJ equipment into the Ziggurat with him, and then filmed a video in there and then put it online. And like he's in this world not knowing what this world is. All he knows is that he can go in there and he can take stuff in there with him, not even knowing that he's like, they call him an irregular, but not knowing that his ability is like very special to him.
Then he has like this best friend that like she has a crush on him, but she won't really. I feel like that's always in another theme in anime. The girl always having a crush, or the guy having a crush. Just this unrequited love shit. Nobody ever want to speak up on the fact that they care about the other person. Lame. Shoot your shot. 2019. But, so she remembers the first time he took her into the Ziggurat. Or Zaragat. How do you say that shit? But she never told him that she remembered. So she's been acting like she forgot this whole time. And then, but only because she got hurt there. And she wanted him to kind of forgive himself because he didn't know what he was doing when he took her there in the first place. So anybody touches his hand, anybody, they're going to the place. Like it's not on purpose, it's not his choice. But anybody that touches his palm of his hand, tries to hold his hand, they're going. We're going on a trip. And he can't help it. So the first time it happened, they were little kids and she got hurt and he kind of never forgave himself. But they both started acting like it never happened. But they both remembered it. So that plays into a little bit of their relationship as teenagers in middle school.
Yeah, they're supposed to be 14.
Yeah, so they're like 8th grade, 9th grade maybe, right? But I think they're still in middle school. So there's like this guilt lying between the both of them that he feels guilty that he hurt her. She feels kind of guilty that it was kind of her fault that they ended up there and she got hurt and he feels bad about it. Complex stuff, you know. Women's feelings is complex. Men's feelings is very low level. But, you know, so throughout the story, it's all these other handshakers. So, like, his parents are handshakers. Their friends are handshakers. Their enemies are handshakers. Everybody's fucking handshaker all of a sudden. And so they found out about him, and not everybody wants to try to figure out how they can use his handshaking abilities or his non-handshaking abilities to get back into the ziggurat, because the whole point of the ziggurat is to fight your way to meet God and get your wish granted. So every time you see somebody in there, it's hands. Like, immediately there's no questions. Like, why are we talking? Run up, get done up, because I'm trying to go meet God and get my wish granted. So the first time they found somebody in there, Yukiya and the little girl that his friend, it's his friend.
Haruka.
Yes, Haruka. I feel like I watch so much anime that all these names kind of
not. They start blending together.
They don't sound the same, but because I don't get to see them for a long amount of time, I never get attached to these names. And so it's like all the names could easily be applied to any other show and make sense. Like, it just is hard for me. And I'm really bad with names.
And there's so many shows with, like, similar names of main characters, too.
Mm-hmm. Very, very hard to remember the names. I remember, you know, their designs and stuff like that. I remember what they look like. That's easier. But that's how I am in real life. I'll remember what you look like and where I know you from, but I will not remember your name. So if you ever see me, be like, hey, girl! That's because I remember your name.
Yeah, I don't start remembering names till like episode 8 or 9, maybe. So.
Yeah. But especially when you're watching like the first 3 episodes of something. Well, this one, I mean, I just can't remember her name because they didn't really say it that much. Mm-hmm. Like, I need them to say it like in Naruto. Naruto says somebody's name every time I talk to somebody. Like, every single time they say something, somebody, Sakura, why are you up to her name? She's the only person next to you. So, but yeah, so I don't remember her name. Haruka?
Haruka.
Yeah, so I forgot where I was going. Oh, they were in the ziggurat, and it was 2 other little teens that popped up that saw them and assumed that they knew what was going on and mm-hmm. wanted to fight. And they ended up losing the fight.
Right.
But they ended up coming out of the thing and they went back in.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, they went back in because they didn't finish that first fight.
Not the first fight.
They finished the second. They didn't lose the second fight.
Right.
But they didn't finish the first one.
But also the first few fights were like 2-on-1s because he went in there with Haruka and she
don't know what
to
do.
She's not a hand
either.
Oh, also, so if you're a handshaker, when you enter the ziggurat, you have a weapon called a Nimrod that mm-hmm. you can kind of like summon. But him bringing Haruka in there and her quote unquote not being a handshaker, he ends up summoning his Nimrod. I can't remember how he figured out how to do that. But anyway, so he summons his Nimrod weapon or whatever, but he's fighting 2-on-1 in the first few fights because she's not a handshaker.
And he's still whooping ass. With no experience.
None.
He ain't no ninja
How?
In real life or nothing. Nothing. Like, he don't have no...
And he doesn't even know what he's fighting for.
Right, he's just fighting. And then they're like, well, what's your wish? And he's like, I don't got no damn wish. Like, fuck your wish. I don't have one, but you ain't getting yours if it's got to be through me. But so basically it's a whole bunch of like people that were handshakers with his parents that are after him to try to get, you know, use of this privilege that he has because he can bring stuff in, he can take mm-hmm. stuff back out. So everybody's trying to figure out how they can use it for their own personal gain, whether that be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, and they think that if they beat him they will get his power.
Yeah. But they don't really understand who he is mm-hmm. and neither does he. So we're gonna break it down into what you get towards the end of the season. You find out that he's adopted and those are not his real parents, but that his real parents gave birth to him inside of Ziggurat, and that is why he has special abilities.
Spoiler warning, it's a little late, but
I mean, I already said there was gonna be some spoilers. If they're still listening, I don't know what to tell them. the reviews at the end of the episode, are you might as well clock out. If you ain't heard or seen this anime yet, clock out. Okay, end it today. Come back when you're ready. We'll let you know. So he's adopted, and you would think he would take it a little harder, but he seemed to have already kind of had an inkling that he was not their born child. And so that kind of gives him the information that he needs to know that that's why he has the powers that he has specifically. And so I feel like there was a lot of like confusing moments in the middle of the season, because it was too much. And then everybody looked the fucking same. That show was pissing me off. Like, it's two sisters that look alike, and I really didn't realize that I was looking at the same sister over and over and over again. Like, I never realized it was the same girl. They should wear name tags or something, because it was, everybody looked the same. His dad looked the same as the bodyguard of the green person. And then he looked the same as somebody else as the DJ. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know none of these people. Like, and then everybody just looked the same. It was making me mad. Everybody. And it wasn't like they all had on the same clothes. Just their face looked the same, their haircut looked the same. Like, why? And you know, cartoon people can change their clothes, so why would they not make their faces different? So there were some confusing parts in the middle for me. I may need to go back and watch them again now that I know the ending. But so there's this one character that kind of wants to exploit God and Ziggurat. And his dad made him exploit his own body. I don't know what that green shit was, though.
Yeah, it was like some kind of stones, body? Yeah.
But they was harvesting gems out of his body, like emeralds.
But like it never showed what they used them for. They weren't the same thing as the materials that he said he wanted to get out of the Ziggurat earlier in the show.
Yeah, all of a sudden the boy was Yukiya. Just growing crystals in his body, like big ass emeralds. And the dad was so excited to harvest them out of his son, like. And then, like, he was so excited to do it that he was going to let him die. Like, he was like, my son would want to die for this. Like, excuse you, bitch. Who said? Because I didn't say. And then, so, but the but who saved him out of there?
That was the butler. His butler, when he was a kid, his butler walked in after one of the stones was harvested out of him, and just
one of the bigger stones.
Yeah,
the motherfucker was big.
And he just walks in with a pistol with a silencer on it and murks the doctors and the boy's dad.
He shot the dad to get him out the way. He thought he killed him. So when he picks up the son, the green hair boy, to leave out, the dad starts talking like, my son, I love you. Save me. Blah blah blah. Like, I love you. And so the butler's holding the gun pointing at him, but he's not shooting him yet. He's like, damn, dude, you're not dead. Like, fuck, I don't want to kill you again. Like, so then the son puts his finger on the damn trigger and shoots his pops twice. Or was it three times?
Three times.
Three times. Like, nigga, I fuck you. You tried to kill me. Like, bitch, you got me fucked up. So, yeah, that was an intense scene there. I thought I seen it coming, but I still didn't expect him to actually do it. Like, when he had the gun aimed at him, I was like, oh shit, the little boy gonna reach up there and shoot his dad. And then I was like, nah, maybe the dude gonna shoot him. And then it was like, pow pow pow. I was like, fuck. Like, well, shit, okay, people are dying in this show. All right, great. Because in Ziggurat you can't die either, so
yeah.
If you get killed in Ziggurat, you just go back to regular life. You just
you lose your powers, your ability to come in. But you don't die. You just become normal.
Yeah. So when he killed his dad, and that was like the first real death of the show. Like, well, outside of the doctors, but they didn't really count because I don't know. It just wasn't as personal. This was more personal. Like his dad had him fucked up. So, but the cool thing also about Lil Yukiya, he can bring in people that have died, quote unquote, in Ziggurat. He can bring them back because they
can summon them.
Yeah, he can summon them back into the Ziggurat. So he was fighting the butler of the green haired boy, and excuse me. he summoned his dad back after his dad had just got killed out of there. Like, his dad had got killed out of Ziggurat, and then he summoned his father back by, like, putting a CD on his disc player thing, which I think was really weird of a concept.
Because how did he know how to do that? The thing about this show with Yukia that bugged me was that he got into the Ziggurat, didn't know what it was, didn't know anything about it, and then he gets into these fights
and everything looks like muscle memory. Like,
yeah, and he, it's like he's never, it's like he's been there forever. Like, he knew what was going on. Like, he knew how to summon his Nimrod, and then in the moment that he needed to, he knew how to summon his dad back into the Ziggurat after his dad got killed out. Like, how did you know that you could bring in somebody that had been out already?
Right, how did you even try that?
Like, there's no indication about, there's no hinting towards it or anything. Like, he just all of a sudden knew he could bring his dad back.
Weird shit. We'll see what else happened in there.
And the green-haired guy, Midori?
Oh, that's
Midori,
funny. That makes sense why his
yeah.
name.
Yeah, very, very lazy naming.
Very. But, and I'm mad I can remember his name being Midori now that I know. I didn't even notice that till right now either.
Yeah, but he kidnaps Haruka and, like, holds her hostage, kind of. But she's kind of, like, willingly there because she feels bad about lying to Yukia that about, like, acting like she didn't remember being in there.
That's even what I was talking about, that layers of guilt.
Yeah. It got kind of weird. Like, it started getting weird.
And then, like, she was over there trying, like, you know, behind the guy that's trying to kill your best friend. Like, what are you doing? Like.
And then suddenly she was a handshaker.
I'm just gonna stay here. All of a sudden, the bitch got a guitar. Where did you get that from? Why do you have one? How do you get one? Like, what do you do to get one? You just accept that you're a handshaker, and all of a sudden, like, what? And then how do you get in there? Like, who is in charge of allowing people into Ziggurat? Like, is the list long? Like, what is, what? How do they do that? There's a lot of unanswered questions, and it's stuff I don't even care for the answer, to be honest. Like, I don't know. Do we want to talk about anything else on the show?
I mean, you pretty much told the whole show.
That was the point.
But, I mean, there's really, it's only 13 episodes. It's a sequel to Handshakers, but you don't have to watch Handshakers in order to watch this. But it's, I mean, the art is pretty. The story is cool until it starts getting weird and things start to not really make that much sense. But, I don't know. Is there much else to say about it?
I don't think so. I don't think this. Now, I will say that the show was pretty.
It's very pretty. And it was entertaining, aside from the things that when you start noticing some stuff doesn't make any sense. But it's a pretty fun watch for the most part.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go watch Handshakers. I just looked it up. It is available on Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go watch it.
I think it's only 24 episodes too.
12.
Oh, it's 12
minute episodes.
Oh.
I'm looking at the thing right here. It's got a 5.9 on the community rating on LiveChart.me. So it's probably just around what I'm about to give it. What I'm about to give to Wise, because yeah, it's. I mean, while it is nice to look at, it is a very confusing story. I don't like to be confused. I like to, you know, at least not, I want to feel like I learned something. And not educational-wise, but I want to feel like if I was lost, I want to feel found on the last episode. Like, at least enough to where when it ends, like, I feel secure, like, that those characters are okay or they're dead, one or the other. And I know that they're all okay, but I still have a lot of questions as to how the fuck all this shit goes down. And perhaps I will get the answers to those questions after I watch Handshakers. But right now, nah. I would safely give this show about a good 6. Because it wasn't horrible. It just wasn't great. Yeah, so Keith, I'm about to give it a 4.
I'm not gonna be that critical of it. I mean, for me, the art was good. The fight scenes were pretty good and pretty well choreographed. I like the character designs for the most part. I like the Nimrod designs. It's just the story started to get weird at some points. But I even like the little theme music that they had that they kept playing. His little DJ Hold song. On, I need to feel it. Yeah, that song was. I need to feel it. Yeah, I was kind of feeling that song like, hey. I low key need that whole track.
Before you give your review, at the end of that shit, they was like, oh, he finally found the BPM that no god, that even God could make, and they played that same motherfucking song.
They've been playing the whole time. Like, ain't no difference in the
Nothing
song.
Nothing has changed.
But now all. It meshes. It doesn't mesh. Now it meshes.
Oh, that was the key word. Meshing was the key word.
But, I mean, I'm not too far from you. I'll give it a... I'll give it a 5.
Okay.
I give it a 5. It's 5 is safe. And to me, I think 5 is like okay. Like, it's not bad, but it's not great either.
Right, because when I think it's bad, I'm going to disrespect you and give you a 1.
Yeah, so it's, I could give it, I think I could give it a solid 5. Maybe a 5, I'll give it 5.5. I'll do 5.5. Just because I like that song. That song was grooving. I like that song. So, I give it a 5.5.
Well, ladies and gents, that is the end of our review. We have given it a 6 and a 5.5. So if we round that out, if we just add that out and average it, 5.75.
Well, we could round it up to a 6.
Yeah.
We'll round that up to a 6.
So, Strange Quirk for Anime Podcast has rated Wise a 6. Tell your grandmothers, tell your grandfathers. we forgot to shout out the moms. All the moms.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to all the moms. Yeah. Y'all out here doing amazing work. Maybe not all y'all, but you know, some. I don't know. You know, I got the list like Santa. Some of y'all ain't doing y'all job, and I know which ones, but I ain't gonna put y'all on blast on the podcast. But ooh, that rhymes. I'm a poet, and I didn't even know it.
Oh God.
But yeah, so we're gonna go ahead and get out of here. It's it's been a little bit of a lengthy episode for y'all, but you know, we're giving y'all enough so that y'all won't cry when we come back in like 2 months. But it won't be that long, I promise. But it won't be that long.
But everyone, make sure to tell your friends about us. Follow us on Twitter, SQ_AnimePod. Follow us on Instagram, SQ_AnimePod. We are now on Anchor, so Anchor, Spotify, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. We on all of those. Apple Podcasts, go and leave us a 5-star review if you like the show. We really appreciate it.
And I've seen that from our data that most of our listeners are iPhone users. So shout out to y'all. We only have like 4 Android listeners, but shout out to y'all too because y'all listening. So, man, but iPhone or die. So whatever.
And then also real quick, so me and Mike from the Blanime Podcast, Unbothered Mike, we this summer we're going to do an anime challenge. We're calling it kind of like a race. I had tweeted out that I wanted to watch 50 anime. Over the summer, and he decided he wanted to join in on that, so we decided to do a race like by episode. So if anybody wants to join in with us, you can tweet me at Strange Keith or tweet him at I think his ad is Unbothered Mike. But yeah, we're just once the NBA finals are over, as soon as the NBA finals are over, that's when the race starts. And we're going to be going by episode, so as many episodes as you can, if you want to jump in, as many episodes of anime as you can watch between the end of the NBA finals and the start of the NFL season.
So is that preseason or the season? Because most of y'all don't be caring about preseason.
That is a good question. I think let's do the season. That way we get an extra 4 weeks too.
Look, 4 weeks of preseason.
Yeah, preseason's 4 weeks. Yeah, so that's a whole extra month. So we'll go till season. But yeah, and the reason we're going by episode number is just because every anime has different the seasons are different lengths. So it's not really fair if somebody watches 50 anime and they're all 12 episode seasons versus someone who watches 50 and they've got mixtures of like 36 and 24 episodes and 12 in there. So we're going to go by episode numbers.
You also said something about movies.
Movies count as 3 episodes no matter what the length of the movie is.
I'm gonna find a 45-minute movie.
Because most movies they end up being about an hour anyway, which is pretty close to 3 episodes. So movies, no matter what the length of the movie is, it counts as 3 episodes. 21-minute episodes count and longer counts as 1 episode. But yeah, we'll be doing that. I have my Anime Planet, so if you guys want to follow me on Anime Planet, I'll be updating that as I go through the summer and stuff too.
I have mine where it tells you what episodes I watch when I post it, when I do it.
Oh, like immediately?
Yeah, like as soon as you update your list, it'll send a tweet out.
Okay. Yeah.
At least for the thing, but not, you can turn it off after.
Yeah. I'll probably do that once the challenge starts. And like I said, like as soon as the clock hits zero on whatever the fourth win is in the NBA finals, that's when the race starts. So that's when we'll start going. But letting everybody know in case anybody wants to jump in or if anybody wants to like ask some clarifying questions beforehand so that you're ready, just let me know or ask him. Shout out to the Blandame Podcast. But yeah, we both said we was gonna do that, and we want to make it a community thing. So anybody who wants to jump in on that with us, go ahead and feel free. All right,
I ain't joining in because I got shit to do, like sleep. I don't got time for y'all at all. I'm gonna be watching the same regular anime that I be watching a regular amount.
Oh yeah, I just wanted to binge and.
You want a reason to be at home doing nothing, ignoring me. That's all. That's it.
But I wanted to like motivate myself because I want to like watch some older stuff too that I haven't had really a chance to get to. So I'm gonna use this to try and get to some of the older because I want to get into like some 80s and 90s stuff that I haven't seen. Well, yeah. It only counts. We're making it so that it only counts if you haven't seen the show, also, or you haven't seen the movie. So, this is great. I feel like it's a great opportunity if you want to, hop into some stuff you never seen. This is the motivation you need. So, yeah. But that's it. So.
Yeah. Follow us on our own personal Twitters as well. We don't see from the podcast very often. We're trying to change that, but sometimes you just forget. My Twitter is Quirky Jerk, spelled just how it sounds. And his is Strange Keith, again, spelled just how it sounds. We don't have any of those underscores, nothing like that, because we're OGs out here. And no suspension gang, you feel me? Gang, gang! Yeah, that's a dig to all y'all that have been suspended. Yep, Mike, that's you. But yeah, thank you for listening. I think we're done here. Anything else? Let us know if you're coming to Anime Expo in July. We have some things in the works for that. We'll be there all 4 days, so keep that in mind. So if you are coming, let us know. We may have some stuff with us, maybe as like a giveaway or maybe like something. I'm thinking about it. I'm considering it. Depending on how many people are coming that say they're coming will depend on what I bring. So
yeah, but we will be at Anime Expo all 4 days. So like we've been the last 2 years.
Starts July 4th. It's 4 days. So we've been there for the last 2 years. I can't wait to get my 2019 pin. I got 2017 and 2018. I'm trying to create a collection of those. Hopefully one day I'll have an Eater bag full of just pins from conventions. Not that I got there, but just the actual convention, because usually the conventions do give a pin in the year that it is. So that's my goal, is to collect all the pins. Yeah, we're also gonna be trying to do some other conventions, but it's gonna have to be after that. Uh-huh. After July, because right now pockets ain't, you know. That one's expensive, so.
But yeah, we will be there, so come find us. We don't bite.
I do.
We don't scream at anyone.
I just got my teeth fixed too. I'm out.
So yeah, she won't bite you, trust me. But anyway, so yeah, that's about it. And again, you know, like and subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, Google Play. Tell all your friends about us, tweet about us, retweet. Take a screenshot of you listening, post us on your Instagram story, you know, tag us in it, or post it on Twitter, tag us in that. If you like the episode, you know. But yeah, that's it. That's a wrap. Okay, we'll catch y'all later, because we're running long.
Gang. Thank you.